Whoa. Whoa, Nelly. Holy
that
cow.
That was a bad time to that, be making that, sweary okay. noises.
No joke. Like I didn't burp or whatever.
I mean,
holy cow.
It is like the second that it turned 30. They're ready to get the show on the road. Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart with or without us. It is Happy Hour Friday. Surprise. Oh, or Economics on Tap, as we like to call it. I know, like, guys, we do know what time it is. It's just... We have a very
busy chit-chatting and doing stuff.
Just and yakking away.
Radio runs
just
on a
yakking.
Clock, man, and that's the way it goes. Well. So we've got the live stream up, as we always do. For those of you watching on YouTube, thank you very much. I've got it down here on my iPad, and Molly has it somewhere in her command center over there. Usual news,
and
then we're going to try. Hello, yes. What are you drinking, by the way? Let me just interrupt right there. What are you having, if anything? Have you cleaned
I'm
up
super
cabinets?
Excited because it's raining. And very chilly and delightful today. And so I made a Meyer lemon hot toddy, which is one of my all-time faves. Yes, my man friend brought me some Meyer lemons. So there's some bourbon, honey, hot water, and a nice big squeeze of Meyer lemon. And it's just so I have my like my fuzzy sweater on.
That is awesome.
So great.
That is awesome. So great. Good for you. Your man friend hits it, man. I've got
does.
A Voodoo Ranger Hazy IPO. Hazy IPA, and I've got a backup beer in case we go long. So you remember I got caught
there
out
there you
last
go, because you're at
ago.
Home.
Too long, and I ran out of beer. I know. So we are going to try something new in the second half of the pod this afternoon. And when I say second half, I mean like, 10 minutes from now. And let's do the news, because you and I had a very interesting sort of meeting of the minds on the news.
It's true. I almost picked his thing, and he almost picked my thing, which is kind of great.
you can pick your friends, just, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friends' thing. I don't even know. Whatever.
Exactly. You can't pick Kai's story, and
I'm
you can't pick yours. So you go first.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. Help. So there was a tweet today from an NBC News producer or reporter on Capitol Hill with a picture of one of the buildings in the Capitol. I think it might be Statuary Hall, but I'm not sure. Laid out for a big dinner this evening for incoming freshman members of Congress of both parties, the Republicans and the Democrats. I'm going to say this again. They're having a big dinner party in the Capitol in the middle of a pandemic. And apparently, Speaker Pelosi told NBC News' Leanne Caldwell, she's their congressional correspondent, I apologize for the misidentity, said, oh, it's okay. We've got enhanced ventilation. We're all well-spaced. And the physician of the Capitol said it's okay. To which everybody on the planet, including me, said, no, cut it out. That's ridiculous. Tell me why I can't see my mom at Thanksgiving. It is such a failure of leadership. I cannot even believe it. And truly, they need to, number one, cancel this thing. And number two, be absolutely clobbered for it. Because it is just, I cannot even believe it. Cannot even believe
it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean... The double standards on display here are just astonishing, especially as we are literally headed straight into a hurricane, straight into the dark winter that everyone said was coming. Like New York is talking about sending kids home from school again, more women potentially having to leave the workforce or figure out the childcare thing. Like, and you guys are having a party?
Yeah.
You're having a party.
It's unbelievable. It is such a failure of leadership. I cannot even. And look, for all the grief that you and I have given President Trump on this podcast for this very thing, let's be clear, Nancy Pelosi screwed this up.
Well, Nancy Pelosi has screwed up a lot of this. Let's be real.
Yeah, well,
she did not institute testing at the House. She is still opposing remote voting. Like, there is some fundamental. When got the haircut?
No. Wait. Didn't she just extended remote voting through the end of the year?
She has been pretty resistant. I just posted a story. Hold on, let me look, because I just posted a story about it yesterday in our ideas Slack. That may be the case, but I think the digital voting,
anyway.
There was some digital voting thing.
Right, that might be. All right, sorry.
Yeah.
I cut you off.
Anyway, yes. But either way, it's just, there has been a little, there has been a disturbing obliviousness, shall we say, that is just becoming, and look, Governor Gavin Newsom is guilty of it too. He got busted today, thanks to Joanna for reminding me, for going to a big multifamily dinner at the French Laundry. It's all like, I was actually telling a producer this and I tweeted it because I'm snotty like that. that for anybody who read the Hunger Games books or watched the movie, in the books in particular, there's a scene where all of these tributes have to go to the capital, Panem or whatever. And it's the, you know, it's where, and they're all coming from these districts where they're like starving and begging for bread. And they get to the capital city and it's this just like absolutely absurd, lavish party. Yeah. Everybody's had like enhancements and they look amazing and they eat and eat and eat and eat and then take a pill to make themselves throw up and then eat some more. It's like this disgusting display of excess in, you know, profound contrast to the way that everybody else lives. And I'm telling you that when I saw the photos of the Amy Coney Barrett party then particularly this setup for dinner, that was all I could think. Like the disconnect is just shocking.
Staggering. Staggering.
Yep.
So that was mine. What was yours?
That's a good one. That was almost mine. And this was mine that was almost yours. Yeah. The Wall Street Journal has a really interesting piece today talking with Charles Koch of the one half of the Koch brothers, the libertarian tycoon, they say, who spent decades funding conservative causes, who now says his partisanship may have been a mistake. And he would like a final act building bridges across partisan divides because after having broke the country by way of billions of dollars, he now is like, and this is a direct quote from the article, "Boy, did we screw up," he writes in his new book. "What a mess."
So,
like, it must be remarkable. Look.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Please give us the background and then I'll rant.
Well, I was just going to say, for those who don't know the Koch brothers, one of whom just recently died, David died. This is Charles Koch, the one who lives in Kansas. They are multi-billionaires, like $55 billion worth each, by the way. And there's a third brother, but he's the black sheep. But anyway, they have for decades spent their money on conservative, anti-environmental, anti-regulatory causes, have won, because they have billions, many causes for which corporate America and anti-environmental America have been pounding the pavement for years. So they are huge and influential figures in the divisiveness that has come upon this country. That's
absolutely. Koch Industries has spent more than $100 million in lobbying over the past decade. In 2010, after the Supreme Court ruled that corporations were exempt from restrictions on political spending, all the, you know, all the gates came off, all the whatever. Any limiting force was removed from the level of influence by these two. And then, of course, you know, on the other, there's George Soros, there's Sheldon Adelson. There's sort of, there is this group of people with this influence. I don't think that you can say that Bill Gates is not one of them. And what is so remarkable, and I mean that in the notable way, is that, like, you can think whatever you want, right? You can have whatever view you want. You can have whatever opinion or priority you want. But if you have enough money, you can make that priority into everyone else's.
Everybody's
you can break a country in half. And then you can give an interview where you're like, maybe shouldn't have done that. That's going to be pretty rough. It's not going to influence me at all because I'll be in like my bunker or my jet or my whatever. But looking back, I'm like, woof.
Yeah.
I mean, so you break it, you buy it? Like, what even happens here? It's just.
Whew. So two things. Number one, full disclosure, I went out to Wichita, Kansas about 5-6 years ago and did an interview with Charles Koch. I'm sure it's on the Marketplace website. We spent an hour together. Listen to it. Tell me what you think. Hit us up in the comments. Take your pick. Number two, and this is thanks to Lydia Polgreen, who used to be at HuffPo and has been all over the place. I think she's now at Gimlet. She pointed out that what Charles Koch has done today is a little bit like what Robert McNamara did. Robert McNamara, of course, Secretary of Defense during the Vietnam War. What McNamara did in the late 80s, early 90s, when he wrote a book called In Retrospect, in which he basically said, just like Charles Koch did, boy, did we screw up, what a mess. And Howell Raines, then the editor of the New York Times, wrote a blistering op-ed, which I am compelled by my sense of history to quote here today, just a little bit. So this is Howell Raines talking about Robert McNamara, but I'm sure you'll appreciate the historical resonance. Surely he must in every quiet and prosperous moment, Hal Raines wrote of Robert McNamara, hear the ceaseless whispers of those poor boys in the infantry dying in the tall grass, platoon by platoon, for no purpose. What he took from them cannot be repaid by primetime apology and stale tears 3 decades late. Now, look, some people have died because of what Charles Koch did, but it's not Vietnam. That said, I think that it's an apt comparison, this public mea culpa.
Yeah.
Also, history Absolutely. Is cool. I would just like to say that. That's it.
History is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
And they're unelected. I mean, it's just a whole... Anyway, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm what going to my said? Auxiliary beer, by the way.
I think just that's very so wise. Okay. That's very wise. Before we move on, I am going to go to my auxiliary yes. story, which can be summed up thusly. Elon Musk is just a boob.
Oh, my God.
That guy
God.
Is just a boob.
I agree. Tell people why.
he's been trending all day because he has a terrible cold and appears to have had a couple of positive COVID tests, but a couple of negative COVID tests. And so then this rocket scientist, who is apparently unable to grasp the fact that the rapid antigen tests have a lot of false negatives compared to the more, time-consuming extensive PCR tests, says, quote, something extremely bogus is going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You got COVID, buddy, because you went all over the world and pretended it wasn't real. The yeah. end.
Yeah.
All right. I would like to play a game now.
Sorry.
Yes.
Well, wait. Super quick.
Yeah,
sorry, wait,
back.
Hang on. Beer burp. Okay, sorry. SpaceX is doing a launch on Sunday. I just want to say, just on the Elon Musk actually has a vision thing. Yes, he's a boob, but there's going to be a Dragon crew launch on Sunday, and that's cool. I just want to say that.
I certainly hope he does not go there and infect everyone.
No.
Because when we watched the last one.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, I did watch the last one, and he pulling his mask down and leaning in toward people, and Gwynne Shotwell was like, can you back up? That would be great if you could back up.
Gwynne Shotwell, the voice of reason in SpaceX. Okay.
Seriously. Look, it's one thing to be a genius.
Look, Drew Jostedt taking charge.
Helping us out.
Okay. So we're doing something new. It's a little thing called half full, half empty. I will tell you, I'm not entirely sure how it's going to work.
We don't really know. Full disclosure, Donna Tam and Marissa Cabrera cooked this up because we told them, do whatever you want with the show. Reinvent it. And they are. And we're terrified.
Have at it.
It's going to be amazing. Man. Basically, apparently, according to our script, we're going to run through some topics and trends and rapidly tell you how we're feeling about each one. I'm about halfway through my hot toddy, so probably half full.
Answers are going to be interesting. Also, it's always tricky to switch beers in midstream, but I only had one Voodoo Ranger. So now I've moved on to a Sculpin. Anyway.
Ooh. Does that make bigger burps? Never mind.
I guess we'll see. Anyway. So, the next voice you hear will be that of Drew Jostedt. He is in engineering down, of course, in downtown. But we wanted this to be a little bit of a thing, right? It's called Half Full, Half Empty. How Molly and I feel about it with a very brief explanation from us. And Drew's going to climb in here and give us the topic, and then we will respond.
The stimulus plan passing by the end of the year. Are you half full or half empty?
Well, I'm super half empty. I do not believe a stimulus plan will pass by the end of the year. I believe it's every man for himself in this economy.
Oh, yeah. I'm all the way empty. Straight up. Yeah. Okay, Drew. Yeah. What's that? That was easy. Okay. All right. Good. I like this.
Right.
What's
I
the
do
next
this
one?
All day, pal.
I don't think all the yeah. way is an option. Airlines bringing back the middle seat. Half full or half empty?
Oh. I'm going to give that to you because you flew.
I'm half full on that one. I think that they have done a pretty good job of demonstrating that, I mean, that doesn't matter that much. It's a foot and a half in coach between people. And I think as long as they continue to enforce the mask mandate and show people that it's all about the ventilation situation, that they're gonna start filling those for sure.
I'm with Molly, half full. I think I'm okay with it. I'm a teensy bit afraid to fly, but I would if I had to go somewhere for work. Next.
The Electoral College, half full or half empty?
Oh, man.
This like feelings or predictions?
well, let's go. Let's go with them both, and we will give both answers. So I am completely empty on my feelings about the Electoral College. I despair, though, that we will ever have the civic mindedness to do anything about it. Predictions also have the it's going to be here forever, forever.
Yeah, I hate to say that. I think I agree on that. The level of bipartisanship that it would take. And the, you know, frankly, desperation to keep it, considering the actuarial realities of Republican voters, which is something that the party has been aware of for a couple of decades now, meaning that it's likely to stay. I want to clarify that when I said half full about middle seats, I meant half full as in I think the airlines are going to start selling them.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I meant.
Okay. I totally agree. Okay. And let me revisit my whole Electoral College thing. Just super quick, and I know that's not the way lightning rounds are supposed to go, but I actually think that if somebody took the long view, like Birch Bayh did in 1968, and tried to make this an actual issue and give speeches and build consensus over literally a period of years, we could have a conversation about this that would be more fruitful than, oh my God, we have to change the Electoral College. Okay, right. Drew, go.
Crocs.
Oh, man.
I'm so embarrassed to say that I'm half full. I totally bought some for my son and I for Hanukkah. I bought white ones for me and blue ones for him. Yeah, because I interviewed the dang CEO for your show. And then I was like, these things sound kind of fun. And they're really comfortable. Who am I?
Molly Croc wearer. Okay, yeah, I got nothing on that. I'm pretty empty on that one. I'm pretty empty on that one. I don't even know how many of these we have. How many of these do we have?
I don't know. I think that was the last one, if I counted correctly, but I'm not really sure.
Drew?
I got nothing.
Okay.
All right, Drew's got nothing, so we're done. There we go.
How fun is that game? I love it.
That was awesome. That was great. Only to be done, though, on Friday after a beer or a hot toddy, might I just say.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. See? You give them the reins and they make it happen. All right, that's it for us. Next week, we're going to be playing a lot more of this game. We're doing a deep dive on drugs. No, but for real, though, this is a big economic story, you guys. Voters in several states relaxed drug laws this election. We're going to talk about what it might mean for the economy, specifically that whole decriminalizing the hard drugs thing. It's an interesting landscape out there.
Totally. Send your questions, comments, your thoughts on loosening drug wars or items that Molly and I should play on Half Full, Half Empty. We would take that one, too. Voice memo, please, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Thank you, Drew Jostad, for jumping in on this one. We appreciate it.
I know. He's so famous now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, but not quite as famous as Ethan Peretz, the amazing intern.
Well, yeah. Those are big shoes. Those are big Crocs. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Croc status unknown. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Croc status unknown. Ben Hetko produces video with the help of our video intern, Ethan Peretz. Croc status unknown. And Erica Phillips, who I'm pretty sure would never, based on her styly glasses, writes our newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
I'm just going to say I 100% believe she would wear Crocs.
What?
I'm going to wait for the comment in Slack, but I completely believe that. Today's program was engineered, as we know, by Drew Jostad. Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez did the theme music. Senior producer is Donna Tam. Executive producer of On Demand is Star Nieves, who, as her LinkedIn says, develops new original podcast series and verticals and drives growth and audience strategy for podcast and on-demand audio and video at Marketplace. So now I know what a senior producer or an executive director of On Demand does, if you know.
Mm-hmm. I see. Someone wondered and questions were answered.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.